we're going to begin this morning with Angela. Angela, what was the reason for this study? Where did the idea for this come from, and how did it work?
Well, we initially started the study last year. We went to a state convention, and in our Alachua County chapter, Sue Legg, a retired professor, wanted to study the issue of charter schools because they are growing rapidly in the state of Florida. And our state position, we have multiple positions, was outdated. In fact, we didn't even include charter or any school choice language in our position at the state level. So we all get together and we study something, and it takes about a year, and then we go back, which is what we just did a couple months ago, and we vote on council to make our official position. Our study involved 21 leagues from 28 counties, mm-hmm. and they all turned in different studies, and here we are today. Our Northeast Florida chapter conducted a study from St. Johns County and Duval County.
So these leagues all over the state looked at the charter schools in their area. And we should point out that the League of Women Voters is nonpartisan, so even though this is a very political issue, you tried to look at this in a non-political way?
Oh, absolutely. We are absolutely nonpartisan, but we focus on issues. And this is something that we see companies come into the state of Florida, and they're popping up everywhere, and here in Duval County, we've had 8 or 9 pop up just the last year. We're up to 31. We want to see, especially the fact that they're taking and using public school money, essentially set aside for public schools, the same amount. We want to make sure, see how their management structure is and who they're serving and the management companies.
Bernadette, you were on the charter school study that looked at St. Johns County. A lot of people, I don't think, really understand how charter schools work. Florida is now among the leaders. You said that 14% of students in Florida are now in charter schools. So what exactly is a charter school? How does a school become a charter school?
Well, actually, in Florida, it's very easy to become a charter school. There is work involved, but all you have to do is go online and you find the directions of what you have to do to become a charter school. And you go, you get yourself together, you get your information, you follow the directions. You go to the local school board and you say, we want to be a charter school, this is our plan. And the local school board looks at your plan and either approves or denies. If they deny, then the charter school still has the chance to go to the state, and the state can overturn the decision of the local school board. So the process, Florida has made it very easy for people to figure out how to become a charter school.
Trey Czar, president of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. I guess the idea when charter schools were introduced is that they would be freed up from some of the bureaucracy of the traditional school system. How is it that these schools get funding from the taxpayers? How does that work?
So the schools are funded on a per student basis. They receive 95% of the funding that other public schools receive, and the districts hold on to that last 5% to run their charter management operations. And the idea was exactly as you said, to cut through some of the red tape and to create some opportunity for innovation and to put some competitive pressure on public school districts to improve their practice.
And you feel like it's really important to point out that it's difficult to talk about charter schools as a whole because they're very different.
Yeah, we throw around this term charter school, and it encompasses so many different things, so many different individual organizations that are running those schools, that so many different types of schools, for-profit schools, nonprofit schools. I mean, there's so much heterogeneity, so much difference across the charter school sector that you really need to talk about a specific school, and for parents who are looking at charter schools as a potential option for their young people to really get to know an individual school and not just say, I want to send my child to a charter school, because there are some that are great, there are some that are terrible, and there's everything in between.
We're having a discussion this morning about charter schools in Florida, and you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 549-2937. Do you have an experience with a charter school in our area, or do you have a question for our panel about exactly what a charter school is? Again, the number 549-2937. Angela, did you find that a challenge with this study, that there are so many different types of charter schools? Was it hard to look at charter schools as a whole?
Very much so. We felt it was very important, first of all, to work on St. John's and Duval, completely mm-hmm. different school districts, demographics, everything. And we actually found it very hard to conduct the Duval County study because we had, after multiple attempts to contact the two liaisons in four charter schools in the Duval County School Board building and the two contacts they have listed on their website, speaking to them on the phone, they were very receptive to our study, and we sent them questionnaires. We never heard back. We had multiple requests to have them come speak to us, just set up a meeting, just to allow us to go tour the charter schools, and we had zero cooperation.
That's frustrating.
On another, St. John's County, our study there, 100% cooperation. They were invited into the schools. They had all their questions answered. It was an amazing experience. Duval County, all the research that was conducted was solely online through the charter school websites, through the Florida Department of Education sites, all the requested that we found everything online. So, but it was very difficult. And and considering now we have 31, and mm-hmm. at the time the study was made, there was only 20, and that was just last year.
Despite the difference in the process of trying to study both counties, what differences did you see in the results, Bernadette, between St. John's and Duval County?
The results of our study? Mm-hmm. Well, we discovered that there was tremendous cooperation between the charter schools and this school board in St. John's County. They had respect for each other. They worked well together. And we got that sense. We were able to visit schools. We talked to the headmasters or principals. And there was a great deal of respect between the charter school community and the traditional public schools.
And you're saying it was different in Duval County, that there was more autonomy, I guess, for the charter schools?
We don't know. We can't answer that question.
Yeah, everything we found. But we did a ton of research online, and we found the different. All we had to go on was what they were reported. And many charter schools are not reporting their information on time. In fact, that's a problem across the state, 41%. Their financial information, their management information, where their boards are. We have some in Duval County. Their boards are located in California or in Orlando. It was just very difficult to find the information, but we did. We found a lot of data and good data that we based our position on.
Trey, you work with a lot of the schools in Duval County. What is your experience with the charter schools in Jacksonville?
There are a lot of them. There are a multitude of providers. There has been historically some tension there. I mean, there is an aspect of charter schooling which is competitive with traditional public schools, and so you have over who can better serve students. And so there has been a little bit of historical competition. I think the district has gotten over the last couple of years a real clear sense of what their role is, and particularly in the authorization process at the front end. And should charter schools meet the requirements, the district has said, we will approve you because that's what we're required to do by state law. But there is without a doubt some competition from the district and from the charter schools to advertise to parents and say, we are a better place for your student.
We hear that from Dr. Vitti when he's on the program. When he came to talk about his open enrollment proposal, it was the idea for that was to try to get students back from charter mm-hmm. schools.
Yeah, and hopefully, I mean, the theory is, and I think it makes some sense, that if districts are competing for students, they will improve their programs. They'll make sure they'll make sure their traditional public schools are better learning environments. And I think that's the hope and what we're expecting to see across the state.
We are getting a lot of calls about this topic. If you want to talk about charter schools in Florida, give us a call at 549-2937. We are going to go now to Lola. Lola in Avondale, good morning. Thanks for joining the program. Lola, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking to me.
All right. Good morning, Lola.
Good morning. I've got two questions. Since charter schools receive state monies, if a student needs one, are they required to create and implement 504 plans and IEPs like public schools are? And are charter schools required to pay for the assessment?
All right. So IEPs are for students who need special individual education plans because of a learning disability?
Yeah, so charter, and it gets really specific, and so I think we can get into the weeds very, very quickly here. But charter schools, like public schools, are required to provide services to students. But when you get to students with significant disabilities, that's where it gets very, very, very technical. And so I would encourage, if someone's interested in will a charter school provide a specific service for their students, to bring that question up specific to the school itself, but then also to the district charter school office.
All right, we're going to go now to Steve in downtown. Good morning, Steve. Do you have a question or a comment this morning?
No, I have a comment. Thank you for taking my call, and I'd be real curious what your panel says. I've been a product of Duval County Public Schools all my life, and my feeling is that this is no different than what happened in the early 70s when Duval County Public Schools desegregated, and I was in a situation where I was going to be placed on a bus for 40 minutes and sent across town, and my parents pulled me out of high school and sent me to a little private school where our graduating class was only 100. And if people that are 50 or older will remember, private schools sprung up all over Jacksonville, and we were a product, and we had to pay. This is no different than it was 50 years ago. These are parents that are struggling for safety for their children, to get away from an element in mostly our urban schools, if you want to be totally honest about it. They're afraid for their children. They're trying to keep their kids away from drugs. They're trying to get a dress code on. Most of your charter schools have dress codes, and they wear uniforms. But this is no different than 40 years ago when public schools were desegregated and total private schools popped up all over Jacksonville. And parents are truly seeking the safety and the education for their children. Because quite honestly, I didn't get any better education 40 years ago in a private school. I could have gotten a lot better education in a public school. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, Steve, thank you. It raises an interesting parallel there. The difference, of course, is with private schools, parents are paying for the private schools, and charter schools, public money, taxpayer money, goes to support the schools.
That's true, and it was an interesting observation that Steve made. I hadn't thought of it that way, but the children who get to go to, there is sort of a self regulation about kids who get into the charter schools. They're children of parents who are interested, who are looking out for their kids, and who have a greater interest in getting the kids into a special school. So it's sort of a self-selection process. You're getting kids with parents who are very involved. And yes, it's a different kind of, everybody's supposed to be able to be accepted into a charter school, but it's the parents who are the movers and get their kids into those schools.
A question I've always had about charter schools, if a student is not performing well or is a behavior problem, are the charter schools able to kick them out, essentially, and send them back to the public school system?
Yes. Oh, go ahead, Trey.
I would say, yeah, they are, and there's documented procedure. Each school has to document how they make those decisions. I think, particularly in large, well-functioning charter schools, that happens a lot less than people, I think, tend to think it does. I've worked in the charter school system in Texas, and we had the opportunity where we had a couple of kids who had significant challenges, but it was few and far between.
Angela, I want to ask you, just overall statewide, I know it's difficult to paint one picture about charter schools, but did this study find that the charter school system is an effective way of teaching our students?
Well, like I said earlier, every county was different. And in counties where there was great cooperation with the district school board, and they're using innovative ways and they're collaborating with the school board and the schools, they seem to be effective. And they're what we found, like FCAT scores, are at the same or if not better. But many, many charter schools, on the other hand, that just mirror the existing district schools, providing the same service, they're not showing any improvement, if at all. In fact, they may be decreasing with their FCAT scores. So it's really a mixed bag. It really is. There's some counties that are working great together. I would say St. John's County, that's a great example. And many, and there are maybe a handful or a few that are working well in Duval County, but to look at their scores and look at different things that maybe, whether or not they report it, there's to be using taxpayers' dollars that are being diverted from our public school and they're not doing anything new or innovative and it's not working and the data is showing that, then no, it's not working.
And I was just going to say, I'd encourage any parents who are curious about school performance, either in traditional public schools or in charter schools, to check out a site that we've created called schoolfactsjax.org. And you can, for schools that have been, particularly schools that have been in existence for some time, you can start to get a sense as to what that performance looks like. And again, there's wide variety of school of charter schools in the community. And I think that as charter schools take a larger and larger segment of the student population, what you're starting to see is that on the average, they perform no better and no worse than district schools. Right. Now, there are individual schools who perform significantly better or significantly worse, and that's where I think parents really need to keep their eyes open.
You know, Trey, the question that I have after hearing Angela, if there are charter schools that are not doing anything different from traditional public schools, then why do they exist? Are people making money off of this? Is that a reason that people open a charter school?
So some. In Florida, you are allowed to have both nonprofit organizations and for-profit companies to open charter schools. And so we've seen, particularly recently in South Florida kind of working its way up the state, is a significant growth in for-profit charter schools, which I think raise a whole lot of questions about motivations and things like that. But there are a lot of great, I mean, in Duval County, you have the YMCA and you have the KIPP Charter School Network, and you have a lot of nonprofits who operate charter schools as well. And so it really differs. And I think the key here is that if you have charter schools that are significantly underperforming the public school system, then we need to find a way to put them out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have schools that are significantly overperforming and outperforming the school district, we have to figure out what are they doing that's different and what practices can be imported back into the public school system.
All right. If you're just joining us, that's Trey Czar, the president of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Also with us this morning, Angela DeMonbrun, president of the League of Women Voters of the First Coast, and Bernadette Murin, who is a member of a charter school study committee. The League of Women Voters did a year-long study about charter schools in Florida, and we're taking your calls at 549-2937. We're going to go now to Pat in St. John's. Pat, good morning. What is your question? Good morning, Pat.
Hey, I wanted to know what is the percentage of these charter schools that are actually religious-based schools that have started to allow schools to teach their religion and use my tax money to do it.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Bernadette?
As far as I know, there are none that are because of the, you can't divert public monies to a religious school. So as far as I know, there are some that are housed in churches, but the churches and their schools need to secularize. They need to cover up any religious item so that the charter school can operate.
Okay, we're going to go next to Jeff in St. Augustine. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for joining First Coast Connect.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, hey, I specifically wanted to talk about a school we have here in St. Augustine called the St. Augustine Montessori School. It was founded by parents of students that all attended a private Montessori preschool. And the parents founded this school basically because there wasn't a private school option for their kids for a Montessori grade school. And one of the parents even made herself principal. So not only is she sending three of her kids to school for free in essentially a private school she's running, she also gave herself the job of principal. And as far as I know, she's never even been as much as a public school teacher anywhere. So to think that she's qualified to be a principal of a so-called public charter school, the St. John's County School Board doesn't have a lawyer. They have a law firm on retainer. The superintendent has acknowledged to me that the school is operating in violation of state statutes, but it could cost them tens of thousands of dollars to fight them. And it's a school with 34 kids. It's only basically the kids of board members, school employees, and a handful of other kids that all went to this private Montessori school.
Okay, Jeff, I'm going to let Bernadette cut in here because she was involved in the study in St. John's County and might be familiar with this school. Bernadette?
Well, we do know the school, and he's right in terms of how it was founded. And the reason it was it is innovative in the sense that there are no public schools that use Montessori methods. They have 3 years to prove that they, you know, financially and academically and in all other ways are a good, you know, can function. But if they have 2 years of failing grades or a financial distress, they can be closed. So they are only, I think, in their second year this year. And but they are allowed to the state legislation says that your students can be children of parents who mm-hmm. are teaching, or they can be relatives. The students can have that privilege.
So while Jeff may not like the way that works, it is legal, and
that part is legal. And I don't understand what the irregularity was that he talked about. I don't know what that is.
All right, Jeff. Well, thank you for your call. Angela, I wanted to ask what recommendations the League of Women Voters has for improving the charter school system in the state after taking a look at this comprehensively.
I would say more transparency would be a key. Conflict of interest. We have multiple schools throughout the state of Florida. We didn't see any locally here in Northeast Florida, but the conflict of interest with our state legislatures and their family members serving on the boards, where we saw that. So we've laid out a position.
I guess in more than one case you saw that?
Yes, in more than one case. And we do have a list on our website, lwvjacksonvilleleague.org. Oversight, more oversight of these schools, more in line with our Florida Constitution, that the same line that our public schools have to follow, state their purpose. Charter schools need to state a purpose and how they're going to work, and a timeline and a little more follow through. Of course, transparency, accountability.
Yeah, a lot of it comes back to that transparency.
Yes, absolutely. Their facilities and funding. What type of facilities are they being housed in? Mm-hmm. That's what we have some here in Duval County that are just in shopping centers. Are they regulated the same way public schools are? No, they have some different rules. It needs to be, and all comes down to they're receiving funding would otherwise go to public schools, so they should be held to the same standards as public schools. And at the same time, public schools, maybe they have so many different things they have to, responsibilities and regulation and teacher innovation. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. Maybe if we kind of laid back on the regulation for teachers and they could do more in the classroom, maybe we wouldn't have such a need for these charter schools to pop up and have different activities. We need to kind of bring it more in, I think, a little bit with regard to innovation. And
so you're saying changes not only to the charter system, but to the traditional public schools as well?
Possibly. We need to look at it all to see why are we attracting so many charter schools in the first place.
I'm going to go back to the phones, take a couple more calls here. Tom on the north side. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Thank you for this topic as well, and thank you for your guest. One of the things that I definitely wanted to call for was the kind of a response, and also to take the task of responses of the panel for, I believe his name was Stevens, comments about how the private schools popped up because of desegregation. If we remember properly, we never did desegregate the schools in Duval County. We can see that by the racial makeup of our schools, particularly our north side schools. The federal government just gave up on the lawsuit because we never did comply. And I think charter schools are a way of also kind of getting around that, as well as our magnet program. Like you said, there are some charter schools that are doing some innovative work, some great work. However, the public schools have been hamstrung by the legislature on being as innovative as they could be. So there are options in charter schools that are not available to public schools. And to me, it's scary because I got a great public school education. I graduated from Revolt back in the days when Revolt was a national model school. And to look and see how we are right now, because the best of the best have been siphoned off to our magnet programs, our charter programs, and even some of our private programs, it's no wonder why we're having the difficulties that we have. And it needs a wholesale review. And I thank the League of Women Voters for looking at it so candidly. But I think we need to be a little bit more critical when we consider the reasons why these things are occurring.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you
so much for your comments. Trey, of course, the desegregation issue is fraught with it's a history fraught with problems in Duval County. But what is your response to some of Tom's other comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think he touched on a lot of different points. And certainly it's not just desegregation, but the disaccreditation of the system that also drove a lot of private school enrollment. I think one thing that's important, I think there's a misconception right now that as we look at where charter schools are growing in Duval County, we're seeing more and more schools open south and east of the river in relatively wealthier areas of town. And I think that's and particularly growth in the for-profit sector in those areas. So it's not there. We just need to keep in mind that this issue affects our entire community. And I think it really comes back to a lot of what my friends here were saying is that if this whole system relies on choice, and the only way that choice works is if it's an informed choice. And that's where I think a lot of the transparency measures, having parents learn more about schools before they choose to enroll students, would encourage, for folks in Duval County who are interested in looking at both charter and other choice options. I mean, the school district runs their School Choice Expo every January. It's a great opportunity to see every school.
So the charter schools and traditional public schools are in one place.
Yeah, if a parent is considering some of these choice options, it's really incumbent, I would argue, upon that parent to dig very deeply and go visit schools and meet the principal and talk with them about what type of education they're providing for the students in their school.
All right, we're going to have to wrap this up soon, but I'm getting a process question from Mickey on Twitter. Angela wants to know why the league didn't connect directly with charters in Duval County. You mentioned that you tried to go through the district and had some trouble connecting that way.
We tried to actually go into some of the charter schools. And I don't have the Duval County Study Committee here today, but they tried very much so and often to actually go tour the actual school. The only thing we were able to do was see the outside of and take pictures of the facilities that were being used.
Okay.
And that was it. But we did try.
Thanks for answering that question. Bernadette, if people have more questions about this or would like to see the actual study, how can they do that?
Oh, they can go to our website. Angela, if you want to mention it again.
Excuse me, www.lwvjacksonvilleleague.org.
And we are having our first presentation this coming Wednesday at the Punta Vedra Library, 6 o'clock.
And you're open for invitations for others who would like for you to come do presentations?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. A very interesting discussion this morning about charter schools. We were joined by Angela de Monburn, the president of the League of Women Voters of the First Coast, Bernadette Miron, a member of the Charter School Study Committee, and Trey Czar, the president of the Jacksonville Public Education Fund. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.